Nothing behind me, everything ahead of me, as is ever so on the road. Jack Kerouac.
You know, I'm okay with that life. Yeah, I mean, after many life experiences, there was trauma and whatnot to get through, you know, from many eras of my life. But you just, you know, part of this was going out and working through it a step at a time. And I finally got to the point where, you know, one day I was walking up a hill. I want to say it was in Colorado, and my shadow was being cast in front of me. Not an unusual thing, you know. But I looked down, and my first thought was, I'd follow that guy. And it hit me. That's the first time I ever felt that way about myself.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute to help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right. This week, we are reaching back into our little black book and calling on one of our favorite former guests. The last time we talked to him in season 4, episode 1, he called in from under a tarp out on perhaps the longest trail you'll find out there. Welcome back to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Jason O. Cook. How's it going, Jason? I just want to clarify, the O is a middle initial. It's not part of your last name. Jason O. Cook.
Correct. Going pretty well, man. I appreciate you having me on again.
Absolutely. You had to come back on.
Yeah, just busting out some miles. And
nice. Last time you were on, it was the first episode I recorded with my new Tascam mini studio creator. And I think I had the volume settings a little bit off on my voice. And so while your voice came through nice and clear, I think I was a little overamplified. So we're going to correct that situation right now by doing a follow-up interview and getting the very best audio for our
right
listeners
on
out there.
Yeah, I am having to sit outside. The internet doesn't reach into my little cabin room thingy. And so I'm having to sit out front here and I hope the background noise isn't too much.
Well, I think it just adds to the ambiance. And if you're tuning in on YouTube, I mean, what a great background. We got some nature shots there. Where are you calling in from, Jason?
I am in East Glacier Village right now. Just finished up with knocking out the prairies again, basically, and getting ready to jump on the PMT.
Okay. All right. Now let's remind folks of your trail name out there. What do you go by?
My trail name is Eternal. And basically, you know, it's kind of what you would imagine. They said, well, you're the Eternal Hiker, so that should be your name. And I said, well, let's go with it.
Because you are on a long trail. A very long trail. How long have you been out, and what is the expected distance once you're all finished? What's the completion mileage?
Should be about 16,000 when I'm all done. And September 1st was officially 2 years on this attempt. And so it's been a long road, and it's starting to come to a close. It's kind of at the climax right now. I'm about to get into the climax, and then just a little bit of a cool down walk, and then I'm done with the infinity loop.
Wow. 2 years, and it's called the infinity loop, 16,000 miles. How many miles do you have left?
2,000, 2,500, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Well, you're almost done. I mean, it's just about there in comparison, right? For most people, that would be one of their, that'd be a long through hike. But you're coming in on the end of it all here.
Yeah. It's a bit surreal, to be perfectly honest. I'm pretty focused on this next section at the moment, cause I'm going to try and go ahead and knock out, going to attempt an FKT on the Pacific Northwest Trail. And, I just feel like at this point in this journey, I'm probably never going to be more prepared. And honestly, I feel like I've leveled up so many times, and my training peaked as I got here. I'm absolutely in the best condition of my life, and I'm feeling confident. Some good decisions to be made, and some getting my ass kicked, and a little luck, and I should knock this thing out in 25 or 26 days.
Okay, so that was gonna be my question. How long? How many miles is the PNT?
1,250.
And do you know the current FKT?
It is 27 days, 13 hours, and 32 minutes, I believe. Nick Fowler, I believe, was the guy's name who said it. That would have been last year. And I'm going to shoot for, I feel like 26 is doable where I'm at right now, 26 days. So that's going to kind of be my goal. If I can push it to 25 days, then, you know, that'd be even better. We'll see how it goes, though.
So I'm doing some quick math here. We do 1250 divided by 26. That's about 48 miles a day, Eternal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be shooting for about 50 a day.
Wow. That, you know, basically two marathons a day for 26 days.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, you've been out there, you've been building those trail legs for going on 2 years now. I mean, if
ever for, there was yeah, a time just to over do two this, years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got all my systems are dialed in. My nutrition is on point. It's where it needs to be. I just got some new gear. I mean, everything is dialed in. I'm feeling like this is legitimately possible, and to be perfectly honest, like I said, I feel like I leveled up again just as I got here, and I'm kind of excited to see what I can do now. You know, like this human body we've been given, man, it's a pretty amazing thing, and I'm having a lot of fun seeing what it can do.
Yeah, people are amazing. I am constantly amazed at the things people are doing. The guests that I've had on the podcast, just always bringing a new perspective, a new accomplishment, just amazing. Yeah. And your body is capable of so much more than you think it might be.
Absolutely. That's definitely one of my big takeaways so far. And another one would be, your brain is your most important piece of gear. Yes, our bodies are amazing, but it takes some good decisions to ensure we are able to continue doing these things we want to do and not break ourselves, but actually continue to progress.
Yes, and you mentioned gear, so...
The Must Bring Gear Review.
That brings us to the Must Bring Gear Review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company, Six Moon Designs. And you've been through this before, but let me just remind our listeners... If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike or a 16,000-mile hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you'd insist on being packed? And let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that you've packed your brain. So you can't say your brain. Eternal, what is your must-bring piece of gear?
Well, you took the good one away from me, so let's see. does food bag count? No, I'm I'm loving this Jolly Gear shirt. It's doing amazing things for me. I stay cooler in it than I do anything else. It's super comfortable and super lightweight. I'm also loving my quilt from El Coyote Quilts. Their Alpha Light, man. I just washed it and the loft came back just like brand new. And I've got like 5,000 miles on this thing, maybe a little more. And it's just holding up like a champ, and I've developed a bit of an emotional connection with it.
Okay, we ran into a little bit of a glitch there, but it sounds like your quilt from El Coyote is has become like a security blanket to you, I think is what we heard, and it's really grown on you.
It really has, man. I like I said, I love that thing, and it's definitely it yeah, it's my emotional support, I suppose, at this point.
There you go. And you know what? You're not the first person to mention the Jolly Gear shirt in the last couple of weeks. And so I'm gonna have to check out the Jolly Gear shirt.
You better get on it, man. They released their pre-order, and if I'm not mistaken, they're already selling out of a couple of patterns and sizes. So you might want to get on that quick.
As soon as we're done here tonight, that's what I'm doing.
Highly recommend it.
Okay. Now, what does the well-prepared Infinity Trail hiker, what does this pack look like? What's your base weight?
Right now for this coming up trek, I am going to be at about 15 pounds. And so I've got a base layer from head to toe. I've got that's including balaclava and liner gloves, merino wool. I've got Gore-Tex rain mitts. I've got a full rain suit. I've got a puffy jacket that's probably a little heavier than I actually need, but I'm also coming into the time of year in the part of the country where, I might see some crazy weather. So I'm leaning towards a little over prepared, trying to balance that with weight at this point. I've got little titanium cook kit, Snowpeak stove. In my food bag, I've got some Pepto-Bismol tablets. That's just in case. Sometimes, altitude and extreme exertion will, cause me to lose an appetite or cause me to feel kind of have an upset stomach. And so the Pepto tends to help with that. I've got my Sawyer squeeze and a pair of compression socks, the Jolly Gear, some short shorts, buff. That's I mean Garmin, but there's really not much to it. I do have a bivy sack, my quilt, a Z Light. And a little tarp.
Okay. All right. And I like the way that you kind of said that you're over a little over prepared, knowing, the region that you're in and the time of year. And so, using that most valuable piece of gear that you have, your brain, this is the time, I think, to be a little bit over prepared rather than be right on the cutting edge of being ultra light.
That tends to be the way I've grown over the course of this trek anyway. It's a, you know, it's a, it, I've been through enough crap, I guess, that I feel like I would rather carry a little bit of extra weight, due to some of the, the extreme weather events and things that I've been through than I would be underprepared. That being said, I go for things like fail safeness. So I don't use an inflatable sleeping pad. I use the closed cell phone unless I'm on snow and ice. So there's trade-offs, and you try to accommodate yourself the best you can, and sometimes you can utilize your natural surroundings to make your experience a little better. But you know, that's
yep. Gotcha. Now we're going to move on to.
It's the hiking pole.
The hiking pole. I think you did this the last time as well. And I have a couple of different iterations of the hiking pole. It's a 7-question survey. It's going to help me determine your level of sanity. But I think the first time we did this, I had my co-host with me, Chopper, right? And we gave you the serious hiking pole with questions about your stance on things related to hiking. Is that correct?
All right. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay. Since we've already heard from you on that, I'm going to change it up on you a little bit here. I'm going to totally surprise you. We're going to wrestle with some big issues out in society. I want to see which side of the fence you fall on.
All right.
So these don't put these when I ask these questions, don't put them in any kind of hiking perspective. It's not related to hiking. It's just related to real life.
Well, I think hiking is real life.
Oh, it is. I mean, having been out there for more than 2 years, it is absolutely real life. Yes. I was going to say everyday life, but it is your everyday life. So that doesn't make sense.
I'm just a day hiker.
Yeah. Every day, all day, every day. That's great. All right, here we go. Question number one. Do you sleep with your socks on?
It depends on the temperature. But I prefer no socks. I prefer nude, if we're perfectly honest. I mean,
okay, hey, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. All right.
That's just the best way to do it, you know. But
au natural.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Especially with some good soft sheets. Oh.
You know, I forgot to preface this with on the hiking pole, there's an automatic 20-point deduction for anybody who's a long trail through hiker, like the PCT, the AT, the CDT. But I think there's an automatic 30-point deduction if you are hiking the Infinity Trail.
Yeah, so, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So your maximum high score is 70. And I have to say, you've already lost some points with your first time. So here we go. Question number two. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Absolutely, man. In theory, it's a great, you've got the acidity, you've got the sweetness, and then you go with the ham, and that's got the saltiness and that savory, you know, the umami and all of it. And it balances out just so perfectly. So I absolutely do believe pineapple belongs on pizza.
All right. Hey, Eternal, you just recoup some points there. That's good. That's a great answer.
Right on.
All right. Number three, do you roll your toilet paper over or under?
What kind of monster puts it under?
Exactly. I mean... Right. Exactly. That's a sociopath right there.
Right. Yeah. It's out or nothing. I mean,
now you sound strongly committed on this one. So I have to ask the follow-up
absolutely.
Question. This is a follow-up question. It doesn't count as question number four. This is ancillary to question number three. If you find yourself at a relative's house or a friend's house, and they've got it going the other direction, are you so adamant on this point that you'll fix it for them?
Oh, I will fix it for them. I don't always do it. But yes, that is one of those things that I will definitely fix.
Okay.
It's like the crooked pitcher, you know, hanging on the wall. You can't just walk by that. I mean, come on.
That's right. Very good. All right, question number four. Cats or dogs?
I think I prefer dogs. Always have. Although I had a cat, I was cooking at the time professionally and came home late from work one night, and this little thing had clearly just been weaned and was just sitting there on the doorstep meowing at me. So I picked it up and took it inside and cared for it and named it Biscuit. And that cat kind of changed my mind on cats in general. So I'm not opposed to cats, but I prefer dogs.
Biscuit. I love it. Do you have a dog named Gravy?
No, that might be the next one, though.
All right. Question number one, two, three, four. Question number five. Do you use the Oxford comma?
I do prefer the Oxford comma, but in, I would say, everyday text speech, I don't necessarily use it.
I can forgive that. I mean, text, you know, there's a lot of shorthand in texting, a lot of shortcuts. But yeah. in your professional writing, in your professional communications, you prefer the Oxford comma.
I prefer the Oxford comma.
Yeah, so do I. Okay. Question number six, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I have to say, if it's on the bun, yeah. I would count it as a sandwich if it's on the bun. If it's just a hot dog, then no. I mean, it's a component.
If it's just the round cylindrical piece of meat on the table, then it's not a sandwich. But you're saying if it's in the bun, it is a sandwich.
Exactly.
It qualifies.
I mean, yes. You know, you've got your bread, you got all of it.
Yeah, it's strange. There are people who are just vehemently opposed to the hot dog being a sandwich. I mean, they will die on that hill. No matter what inaccuracy or inconsistency I point out to them, they just will not have it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it, man.
Okay. Last question. If you had a time machine, if time travel were possible, but it only had two settings, 100 years in the future or 100 years in the past, which way do you go?
Ooh, man, that's a tough call, because I think both would be exciting. You know, the advantage to going in the past is you at least have some sort of roadmap, and you can have some understanding. You go into the future, you have no clue what you're gonna find, you know. So I mean, I don't know, man. I'd have to think about that one for a while. That might be.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows what you might show? You know, 100 years in the future. I mean, just the way things have gone in the last 10 years. You know what?
Exactly.
What could you be walking into?
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the rate of technological advancement and all that. I mean, it's going to be an entirely different world.
Okay. So let me do some quick math here for you, Eternal. I got to carry the 3. So you got to divide by pi, going to multiply by root 5. And we're going to adjust for the blood pressure of someone who is 14,000 miles into his hike. And I come up with the score of 58.
Oh, yeah.
58.
I mean, it's still failing, but...
But it's on. I mean, if you're saying, you know, sanity scale 0 to 100, so 50 is kind of the midpoint. You're on the saner side of that half, though.
That's true. I believe I scored higher last time, but I believe this one is probably more accurate.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. All right. Hey, let's before we get too much further down the trail, let's back up a little bit and just remind everybody, you know, where you grew up, kind of your background. And how you got involved in the thru-hiking cult?
So I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, farming community, and went to UNC Chapel Hill, joined the Army, got out of the Army. At that point, was of the mindset that I was not going to be running anywhere unless something was chasing me. And then eventually I ended up, just kind of getting back into being outdoors more, and the more I pushed myself, the bigger it got. I've always been an endurance athlete anyway, but, I did take that brief break. But yeah, I slowly got into backpacking. Have always been into the outdoors. And most of my stuff was backcountry route finding, you know, picking a really cool spot and figuring out how to get there. And I, you know, I've done a bunch of trails and stuff, and basically the, I always knew I wanted to do something ridiculous. And, the more I planned, I saw that what I'm doing right now was possible. And so it just kind of snowballed. And eventually I realized this is my ridiculous thing. you know, and here I am.
You know, Eternal, I'm always on the lookout for a good title to the episode. And that sentence right there, I've always wanted to do something ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Right on, man.
Hey, any
got plenty
brothers
of time
and
to
sisters?
Think of one-liners.
That's right. Any brothers and sisters?
I have a younger brother. He's in the Air Force, and yeah, he's got kids of his own now, and doing well for himself, and I'm very proud of him. And yeah, he should be working on the celebration beer for this trek as we speak. Well, probably not as we speak, but
nice. And how about your parents? Your parents still with us?
Yes. They are both in Eastern North Carolina still. And, yeah.
Okay.
They're just living life.
Now, do your parents and your little brother, do they have opinions on what you're doing?
Oh, you know, at first everyone thought I was crazy. Now my parents and my brother have at least, resigned themselves to the fact that this works for me. And they are indeed supportive. I spoke with my grandma yesterday, and she told me, I still don't understand. so, you know, even though they may not understand, they get it, and, they're supportive.
Okay. And do you have a significant other?
I have a girlfriend, and I'm probably after the FKT attempt, the plan is to take about a week off, and I'm probably going to go spend that with her. So that'll be a nice little break. I'm sure I'll sleep the first 3 or 4 days, but you know, sorry about that in advance. but yeah.
Now, does she also hike?
She has hiked the PCT and the CDT,
okay.
As well as the AZT, and we hiked the Lone Star Trail together, and then a lot of other stuff as well, you know.
Okay, so out of the last 2+ years, how much Eternal time has she had?
Oh, very, very little. she has got to be one of the most patient people I've ever known. Definitely a saint. Yeah, I'm pretty happy, to be able to know her, and looking forward to spending some more time with her. I think that'll be good.
And does she have a trail name?
Smiles.
Hey, there you go. Smiles.
Yep.
Yeah. It's always nice when you find yourself, partnered with someone who really gets you.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is very helpful. Someone who, you know, understands how to be supportive and understands when, you know, maybe you just need that time to, you know, do what you do. You know, we do try to talk as much as possible, and I think that's helpful for both of us. I would, you know, obviously I'd love to be able to get in more, FaceTime, but you know, that'll come.
Okay. And two questions before we go to break. First question is, how much does it cost to do a 16,000 mile hike? I mean, what kind of resources do you have to accumulate to have that undertaking?
So I plan for just over $2 a mile. And since beginning over the last 2 years, since beginning this trek, my average cost per mile has gone up. Oh, about 60%. So I'm averaging maybe $1.50 a mile now, kind of depending on you know, how much I eat in town. and that kind of thing. It's definitely getting more expensive. I've currently put somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000-26,000 into it. That's an additional stressor and something you have to be concerned with out here. You know, there's spreadsheets for everything, and you know, half the time your spreadsheets have spreadsheets, and you know, there's a lot to balance. This is doing something like this is always a balancing act. And, for the last probably, I'm going to say 8 months or so, I've really, really reduced, things like hotel stays, to next to nothing, because, you know, anytime you go into town and you eat and you stay in a hotel, that just eats into the budget quick. Mm-hmm. It's always a balancing act, you know, but fortunately, like across the prairies, North Dakota was really good about it because they have a lot of traveling oil workers. So most of the cities had, or towns had, a little town park and would allow camping, and sometimes they had showers, and they're typically relatively inexpensive, you know, so you find things like that quite a bit, and, you know, you just make it work.
Okay. And follow-up question to that. My second question is, what did you do before you started off on the hike to accumulate that money? How did you pay the bills, or how are you paying the bills?
So my previous career was as a chef, and you know, you do the best you can. I've been fortunate to pick up a few sponsorships along the way, and some folks just out in the wild, we'll say, contributing, and it has helped tremendously. Definitely helps the savings stretch a little bit farther.
Now, taking us into break, share with us your favorite meal to prepare.
Oh man, I have so many of them. I do this backcountry burrito thing that's kind of a staple of mine. And a matter of fact, today I was able to use a kitchen and cook off and dehydrate a bunch more black beans. So I've got those prepped out. And so I do like black beans and parboiled or instant brown rice. And then I'll sear off like some Spam and go in there. Sometimes I'll do some dried chiles, throw in some cheddar cheese and get it all gooey. And if you got like some chicharrones, pork skins, then you crumble that in there. You make a tortilla or a burrito out of it, man. That's some good stuff.
That is a backcountry delicacy, and I appreciate you sharing that. But I meant in your chef life, when you were a chef, what was your favorite meal to prepare as a chef?
That's a tough one. I loved working with vegetables, but I really love, you know, whole animals or large chunks of meat as well. So I love doing like a whole pig, and that kind of comes from, I think, growing up on the coast of North Carolina, where we have, you know, big hog pits, and they're, you know, they're basically a giant drum, and you have to create all your own coals and keep it, and it cooks for like 24 hours, but it's the most amazing thing. You know, it's really just monitoring your heat. You know, it's the science behind it. It's the artistry that comes with it. I think that really draws me to something like that.
All right. There you have it. You heard about two delicious meals right there. One practical for the backcountry and one sounding not too practical, impractical for the backcountry.
A little bit impractical. I mean, it can be done. I packed out a 9-pound pork roast to one of the shelters that has a whole bunch of accoutrements on the AT, and a bunch of us got together and we packed out so much food and ended up having a 4-course dinner with cocktails and everything, all cooked over open fire. And it was amazing.
Oh man, I wish I was part of that tramway.
All right.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get down into what Eternal's been doing for the last few months. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young.
Yeah, welcome back. We are talking to Eternal, Jason O'Cook, Jason O. period Cook, who is out there on the Infinity Trail right now. We'll clarify that. And, you know, the last time we talked, you were under a tarp. I think it was snowing. It was dark.
It was.
Out. It was one of the better YouTube videos that I've got on my collection. You did a great job out there in the
right on, man.
Talking to us. It was fantastic.
Right
where
on.
Were you? Where were you exactly when we had that conversation?
I was just outside of Cumberland Gap National Historic Park. And right outside of Cumberland Gap, the town. Well, not right outside, but anyway. And so that's basically where Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee all come together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was snowing lightly. Well, it was a mix of rain and snow at that point. And you know, just another night.
And since that time, where have you walked? Take us through the basic path that has led you to where your current point is.
So I made my way over to the Appalachian Trail, went up the AT, went across basically the Northern Midwest, the Mideast, and all that. And now I'm in Glacier.
So how many miles since then?
I want to say 3-4, somewhere in that range, probably around 4. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I talked to professor the other day, Carl.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Carl Stanfield. I think it's his last name, Stanfield.
I don't remember his last name.
Yeah. And he is undertaking a similar feat. You're going 16,000 miles in more than 2 years. He is looking to try and become the person who has walked the most amount of miles in a single calendar year.
Yeah. I have chatted with him briefly over social media. Man, I'm like super, super stoked about his journey. I'm loving watching it. He is crushing it, man. It is great to see, and just one of the nicer humans you'll find too.
Absolutely.
You know, it's really great to see somebody like that, you know, pulling off something that's just so badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely an inspiration to me.
Yeah. What do you think the most important characteristic is for somebody who wants to, or who is successful at doing these long distance. I mean, seriously long distance. You with 16,000 miles. He's trying to do, I think, 11,000 miles in a calendar year. What is one of the most important personality traits or characteristics you think would benefit somebody doing this?
So I always say adaptability is the best ability. And the way you are able to adapt is by appropriately preparing yourself. So you have the knowledge, you have a plan that will give you a minimum level of necessary exertion to achieve your goal. And then you can start to adjust that plan as you go. Basically, the way I've handled this is I try to, at every junction, have four or five possibilities. And then based on ground conditions at the time, I can adjust on the fly. So I think adaptability is one of the best abilities you can have when doing something like this. And again, that goes back to the brain. And then after that, it's just sometimes it's just focusing on the next step or the next breath. And it's really, it's really, I think, putting the possibility of failure out of your mind. Obviously arrogance is not what you want. It's not going to get you anywhere, but you have to settle yourself on the fact that you're going to be uncomfortable in a lot of times. Sometimes this is going to really hurt. And sometimes it's going to be the best thing that you could ever, better than you could ever possibly imagine. But you have to be okay with going through those ups and downs and finding your rhythm.
I think that's great. I'm gonna pull out two little pieces there that you went over that I've heard repeatedly from other folks as well that I think really resonate. One is that first part about adaptability, flexibility. Yeah. If you're the kind of person that everything has to go a certain sequence, everything has to fall into place, you've got a game plan and you're gonna follow that game plan faithfully without deviation, then maybe long distance walking through hiking is not for you, because everybody starts off with a plan, but after day one, you're already making adjustments.
What was it Mike Tyson said? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's exactly it.
And I mean, trails are going to punch you in the face a lot. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be malleable and just continue to move forward and figure out how, problem solving is hugely important. And then managing the fear that comes along with doing something like this. That's something you have to get comfortable with and start to understand so that you can continue to push those boundaries. And I think that's really the way you manage that fear is, you're continually pushing yourself further and further and out just a little outside of that comfort zone. Yeah. And then you look back and you're like, holy crap, I've done some cool stuff.
Yeah. The second piece I wanted to pull out of that was, being comfortable, being uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, man.
You have to realize that there are going to be some pretty sucky times out there and you're just gonna, don't be discouraged. Just deal with it and try and get through it.
Absolutely.
I am by no means an endurance athlete like yourself, but I have run four marathons, and the first marathon, I showed up to that starting line just, excited. I've been excited every time after, but the second, the third and the fourth time I towed the line and I said to myself, this is going to suck at times. This is going to hurt, and we're going to do this anyway, and we're not going to quit.
Yeah. And I mean, your brain will start to do all sorts of stuff like, hey, we're going to hurt ourselves if we keep doing this. So, you'll start to hallucinate. You'll start, your brain will go to some very dark places. But that's also one of the great things about doing this is you get to understand those dark places. And that's part of the pushing. That's part of the fear management strategy and pushing yourself outside of that comfort zone. And, you know, growth never happens from a place of comfort. So either you're pushing or you're not, or you're dying, you know?
That's great. Yep. That's great. Now we've mentioned the infinity loop a couple times here on this episode. And I bet there's some people out there who, if they haven't Googled it, they're scratching their heads and they're saying, what the heck is the infinity trail? I've never heard of this thing before. So Eternal, you want to kind of give us the background and the logistics on what is the infinity trail?
So it's basically just a 16,000 mile figure eight through the country. It hits all three of the Triple Crown. It's essentially a combination of established trails, backcountry bushwhacking, and some road walking where necessary. You know, sometimes it's rail trail conversions. Sometimes it's, you know, a little local trail, and, you know, you see the kids. It's like that meme. You see the kid with the naked Barbie and the Crocs, you know, and you're cruising now with the full pack and everything else. And everybody's like, where's this guy going? but you know, you get to see a lot of really cool stuff that you wouldn't never necessarily see, unless you were getting kind of off the beaten path, even though you're still on a beaten path. And then, like I said, a lot of backcountry bushwhacking. And, you know, I did the like 700 mile bushwhack from the Grand Canyon to the PCT. There's just a lot of, you just make a route, you know, and obviously there's better places than others. And when it comes to road walking, the first choice is always the nearly abandoned dirt road or the four-wheel drive roads, you know, and then you work your way up from there, and pretty much never on something like an interstate or anything like that. You know, that's just silly.
And the infinity loop, this is something of your creation.
Try to be on trail as much as possible. I think we're having another problem here.
No, you're good. So infinity loop, you came up with the infinity loop. It did not exist before you kind of came up with it.
Right. This is my own route that I'm doing. And it's, I couldn't imagine doing it any other way. Like I love the choose your own adventure sort of deal. That's why the CDT is my favorite of the big three, you know. It really has that sort of ingrained into it. I enjoy that aspect, and I enjoy getting away from you know what everybody else does. Not that I'm necessarily encouraging that. You know, I'm not encouraging trespassing or anything like that, of course, you know. You know, sometimes.
Now, Eternal, you mentioned a couple times earlier on about, you know, the like you feel like you've leveled up. And I just want to say, you mentioned choose your own adventure. And to most people, that would be, you know, hey, we're going to go to the beach today, or we're going to go to a 3 mile hike today. That's the adventure we're going to take today. And you have leveled up the concept of choose your own adventure because you've chosen to do a 16,000 mile hike.
Yeah. You know, but we touched on last time, this also being intended to give me the space necessary to fix the brokenness that was within me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even after some of the other long trails, I just knew there was more. I knew I had more in me, you know, and so I kept going and I kept planning bigger. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like this might quench my thirst for a little while. You know, we'll see how all that goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I think reintegrating after this is going to be interesting, but I have a, I have a few aspects of my of a reintegration plan, so I think that's going to be helpful. You know,
Okay.
making sure I get out there enough.
I do want to talk about the brokenness. I want to talk about, you know, mental and physical health and care out on the trail. But before we get there, so put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that right after this. I just want to say that after our first episode, one of the most commented portions of the episode was your story about your encounter with the KKK.
Yeah.
People were genuinely concerned for you. And we're concerned that, you know, did he report this to anybody? Because, you know, nobody should have to go through what you went through.
Right. So I spoke with some police officers and I have not followed up with it since then. But also at the time, my only focus was, you know, putting space between me and them.
Yeah.
I also am continuing walking around the country, and there is a certain amount of discretion, I think, necessary. Prudence, I believe, is the better word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is necessary. I don't want to, you know, encourage future encounters. So, you know, yes, I spoke with some folks about it, but yeah.
Okay. And we're not going to go into a whole lot of detail on this episode. I hope I've piqued your interest if you're listening and you're like, what is the story about the KKK that they're talking about? If you want to hear about this and about the decision that Eternal had to make out there on the fly about whether or not to get into a strange person's vehicle, tune in to season 4, episode 1. It's a harrowing, hair-raising story. You should really listen to.
It was a sphincter clincher for me.
I bet. Okay. Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier that that being out on this 16,000 mile, 2+ year hike was a way to fix the brokenness within.
Yeah.
Do you care to share, you know, in what ways? Is that too personal for me to ask? In what ways do you feel like you're broken?
I mean, we've all got brokenness, you know. I mean, there's something broken in all of us. I think that's just part of the human condition. I think and maybe broken isn't always the right word. Sometimes it is the right word, but maybe it's not always the right word. Maybe it's just a lack of synchronization in the various parts of life and your brain and your body. And, you know, maybe it's just figuring out how to get through this life. And I think that's a big part of it for all of us in general is figuring out how to navigate this world and this life in a way that we feel comfortable and we can get to the end of it saying, you know what? All right, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with that life. And I mean, after many life experiences, there was trauma and whatnot to get through. You know, from many eras of my life. But you just, you know, part of this was going out and working through it a step at a time. And I finally got to the point where, you know, one day I was walking up a hill. I want to say it was in Colorado, and my shadow was being cast in front of me. Not an unusual thing, you know, but I looked down and my first thought was I'd follow that guy. And it hit me. That's the first time I ever felt that way about myself, you know? And it's gradually progressed from, you know, me feeling as I did attempt suicide at one point in life. you know, coming back from that, this lifestyle was helpful, was very, very helpful. And reconfiguring my life and my brain in a way that I can move forward in a healthy manner. That was really the focus, was just getting to a point where I could move forward, mm-hmm. period, and then move forward in a positive direction. And I've gotten to the point now where I'm so far beyond anything I could have ever imagined at that point of my life that I want to see how much farther it goes, you know?
Well, you know what, Eternal, thank you so much for that. I apologize for asking the uncomfortable question, but I know that there may be folks out there who are listening to this who may find themselves in a similar position and will benefit from hearing what you've had to go through and what you're doing to deal with that. And so I have a follow-up question, two questions, actually. I think they're the same question, just asked a different way. What answers did you find out on the trail, or what is it about being on the trail that has helped fix some of these things?
So there have been several aspects that I find very helpful. The kinetic meditation that I practice, you know, it starts as a focus on the breath. It moves into, mentally examining every aspect of my body, or every part of my body, every aspect of my form, making small adjustments to things like posture, stride, all for the goal of greatest efficiency and economy of motion, and, you know, least impact on the joints and things like that. So it's the singular focus that's sustained over a longer period of time. And that has helped me to cultivate a calm, clear mind. And, you know, obviously many other things play into that. It's the communing with nature, for lack of a better term. It's the, you know, it's the movement. It's, the ability to find that quiet, not just in my external environment, but in my internal environment as well. These things have allowed me to maintain, not only obtain, but maintain a clarity and peace of mind I've never experienced under any other circumstances. And from that state of mind, then I've been able to logically address my issues and begin to build better habits, build systems that actually work. You know, just all the little minutiae of life, you know, just rebuild it from the ground up. And that was sort of my strategy with handling all that.
Nice. And you mentioned resynchronization once you get off the trail and you're back in town life or city life. What does that look like? You have any ideas about how you make that adjustment from trail to town?
It's nerve-wracking, and I'm trying not to think about it until after I'm done with this FKT. But yeah, I have, you know, there. So diet is going to be hugely important. Getting sufficient exercise. We'll see how this FKT attempt goes, but I may continue to pursue some things like that. I think ensuring that I have sufficient time out in the woods, and you know, that could be hiking, running, whatever the case may be, to recenter myself after interactions. That's something that I've learned that as part of this lifestyle works really well. You go into town, you have interactions. You go out of town, you have time alone. You go into town, you have interactions. You go out of town, you have time alone. And that time alone allows me to basically process all that's happened, to gather my thoughts and be prepared for the next round of interactions. So I think keeping that particular balance will be very important. As I said, diet and things like that will also come into play. I don't see myself necessarily going back to a 9-to-5 gig or, you know, necessarily living in a city. I think, ideally it would be a little more rural, with easy access to the outdoors.
Nice. There's a lot of complicated issues right there. A lot of big factors. Let me just ask one of the simpler questions. And that is, what about sleeping on a bed again? You know, Norman Clyde, one of the early Sierra pioneers out there who did a lot of exploring in the backcountry, in his later years, he would sleep in his front yard. He couldn't sleep in a bed anymore.
I don't know, man. I've had the opportunity to sleep in a bed these last few days, and holy crap. You know, there's some things about civilization that you're just like, hey, this might be worth it. You know, flush toilets, refrigerators, air conditioning, hot showers, and beds. I mean, that being said, I do have to, I am going to have to spend sufficient time outdoors in order to be able to balance it out. You know, it's amazing to have a bed and a hot shower and, you know, a cold box for stuff, you know. But yeah, I think there's a balance to be struck. And I think it's really, that's what life is about in general, is finding that balance.
Totally agree. I mean, for all of the different ways that society, that city life can pull us down, there are some really good amenities that we can take advantage of and still maintain that balance between work and play, between, you know, city and rural, getting out there and getting after it.
Yeah.
That's the way, that's a healthy approach to life.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that's basically the way I'm trying to present myself in general, is, you know, in a constructive manner. If I continue to build myself up, I can potentially bring some others up with me. That you know, that's the idea there.
Okay. Hey, Jason, you know where we are?
Where are we?
The pro tip insight of the week.
We are at the pro tip insight of the week, that time of the episode where you get to share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better, whether it's a 5-mile day hike or a 16,000 mile 2-year hike. So what do you have for us?
I'm going to go with stretching this time, man. I think a lot of people neglect that. And sometimes I neglect it and my body just screams until I listen. But stretching is very important. And you want to do a pretty thorough stretch, you know, not just the major muscles, but all the little stabilizer muscles and things like that as well. And as you start to build your range of motion, you just kind of notice that everything feels a little bit better in general, and your hikes will go a lot smoother, and you won't be as sore, and you'll end up finding you can do more over time.
Okay. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Eternal. Want to thank him for joining us this week. Jason, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
So Cooked Photo on Instagram. That is COOKEDPHOTO, all one word, all lowercase. And then Through Hiking the Nation. And that is THRUHIKING the Nation, all one word, on Facebook.
And will you be posting updates on your FKT attempt on the PNT there?
I will. And I'm actually planning to post a link to the Garmin tracking.
Oh, fantastic.
So you can follow along with the live tracking.
Outstanding. All right. Hey, remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
Thanks, Half Calf. Hey, Jason, I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some sort of outdoor adventure media that's going to keep our listeners connected to the trail call this our adventure media recommendation. You have anything you'd like to recommend?
So last time, I think it was Trespassing Across the U.S. or I forget, Trespassing Across the Nation, I think it was. You know, I like to get off the beaten path like that. But this, and also it's, it, for me, reading is a bit of a distraction, I guess. But I still like to keep it within the, a lot of times within the adventure realm. So I'm gonna go with the classic and say, On the Road, Jack Kerouac. I just love the writing. And it's, you know, it's not exactly a trail per se book, but it is, it's a great adventure book and the writing is just wonderful.
Yeah. Great adventure book. He's working on himself. I mean, there's a lot to be had there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And
what have we not asked you?
Before we wrap things up, our last segment, we call this, what have I not asked you that you're dying to tell us about? What did we miss? What did we leave out?
I don't know, man. I've been trying to think of something for this segment. And I'm struggling because about the only thing I can think of right now is what I need to do to get this FKT done and to get the Infinity Loop done. I've got some mental performance tips because the mental aspect of doing something like this is by far the biggest challenge. Yes, the physical challenge is tremendous, but really when it comes down to it, it's the mental aspect. Systems for everything. The specific order in which I pack my pack, my diet and nutrition, budget, you know, everything has a system. And that way, even when I'm dead tired, my brain isn't working, my body isn't working, I'm still able to continue moving forward. The kinetic meditation, I think spending that sustained singular focus, that time doing that really helps, like I said, cultivate a calm, clear mind. And if you're going to be able to face some of the bigger challenges, then you're going to need to operate from a place of focus. And that kinetic meditation really helps with that. And then the other thing is, yeah, it may get really, really crappy sometimes, but always enjoy it. Never forget to enjoy it. You know, even on the worst days, I try to find that one thing that I can be like, wow, that was, you know, that's really cool. You know, even on the crappiest days, find one thing. You know, sometimes you'll find a lot more, but find at least one and remember to enjoy it.
That is great advice. All right. Hey, that's a wrap from the John Freaking Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, Jason?
Let me say another shout out to my son, Christian. I miss you. To Smiles, miss you too. And let's go with my brother. Looking forward to seeing you again, brother. And I appreciate you guys having me tonight.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for tuning in. Always remember, the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you've always wanted to do something ridiculous. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.